super surprised, calling, you know, knock me over with feather. The guy had an ISIS flag in his car. Wow. Haven't seen that before multiple times. I mean, that's what I'm saying. When people like us look at this, we just go, ah, again, more, really? And people who haven't done that, haven't been watching over the past 20 years, don't understand.
I fixed the audio.
Okay, so stop shouting.
Red Fox was correct.
Oh, yeah?
He gets an award.
I was like, no, it's super complicated. And yeah, when I plugged a webcam in, it switched the Windows microphone to the webcam. Which, it's not supposed to do that anyway. Yeah.
God,
thanks, Red Fox.
Hey.
See, networking works. There you go. So I can stop shouting now, or do people want me to continue to shout?
No, you can revert back to form.
Yeah, I can start whispering again. Anyway, so, yes, this is very... The one in New Orleans...
Well, that's why...
Even down to your woman... This was it. CNN. It wasn't CNN. It was some other network getting access to the guy's home.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was that a local woman?
Even the newbies were like, WTF. And those who've been here before remember that rodeo, and they pulled up the footage of the media being taken on a tour of the San Bernardino terrorist attack, mass shooters.
Right.
That happened then in 2015. Yep.
It's obvious bullshit, like, you know. It's obviously staged, obviously set up. There obviously were people involved in this, more people involved in this. There's a thing that you can tell us now about the bollards. Give us the bollard story.
I will. Let me just give you, allowing for what canon does happen, 5 days in, they've learned more and our initial reports were mistaken. Okay, just give them the benefit of a second. Mm-hmm. So here's a little summary of the situation as of what they're reporting in international media. So this is from the BBC. This is what is reflected around the world as of today. Shamsud Din Jabbar, a 42-year-old US citizen, is now the sole suspect. That's the first paragraph in the BBC's summary of it today. Two improvised explosive devices were also found nearby, police said. Surveillance footage viewed by police shows Jabbar placing each of those devices in coolers along the busy Bourbon Street, the same street he drove down. That evening, Jabbar posted several videos on social media where he proclaimed his support for the Islamic State group. FBI Deputy Assistant Director for Counterterrorism Christopher Raya said, "There were five videos in total, timestamped from 1:29 a.m. to 3:02 a.m. local time." That's 15 minutes before he's driving down the street. Mr. Raya said that in one of the videos, notice that we're not seeing the videos. The FBI Deputy Director for Counterterrorism is telling us what's in the videos. Mr. Raya said that one of the videos shows Jabbar stating that he originally intended to harm his family and friends, but was concerned that news headlines would not focus on the war between the believers and disbelievers. Jabbar also stated that he joined ISIS before the summer. That's the key part, what I said in between all that. This is, we're getting the FBI telling us what the video show, we're not getting the videos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So this street on New Orleans, this isn't the first rodeo with this street. This is Bourbon Street. This is where parties happen. New Year's Eve is one, but the other one is what New Orleans is more famous for, which is the Mardi Gras Festival. In 2017, another, I guess it was just a random incident, several people killed, drove down that street during the Mardi Gras Festival, killing several people. As a result, New Orleans City Council decided to spend $40 million on bollards blocking street access at key events like New Year's Eve. Now, all week long, I've been hearing about the bollards, and they were kind of like, you can see this in one of the first press conferences, a mea culpa, what happened to bollards? It looks like they were being replaced recently, and there was just some downtime in construction work. That's how we slipped in. That's basically what I've heard. Turns out it's a bit more involved than that. So we've got an interview with a local who's been to many events on Bourbon Street over the years, and he describes his surprise. He's speaking to CNN 2 days ago. They're not bollards like little metal poles that were temporarily removed or something. We're talking about large metal hydraulic gates. Mm-hmm. And as he'll say now, they're positioned all the way down Bourbon Street. Have a listen.
Did you see the suspect?
Oh, he had been gone. That's what I was telling other news sources. Like, we have these hydraulic steel barriers from past events. Last Mardi Gras, this happened to an extent, maybe not terrorism, but still people getting hit in mass population with vehicles. Those barricades were not on, period. They had the flimsy orange ones that you could just push over with your finger. We actually thought it was kind of odd because usually when you get to Bourbon Street, you can turn your back to Canal and not worry about anything. You can just walk the street, especially on New Year's, and there were still vehicles coming after 8 p.m. And then, I mean, the fact that they never raised them, that's how this guy was able to get down Bourbon Street so quickly and cause so much damage. Because there's other barricades past the Canal and Bourbon intersection. There's more, like, every 2-3 blocks. So what was 10 or 15 dead and 30 wounded could have only been maybe 5 and 15. I mean, who can say, but it definitely would have been minimalized because this truck cannot go around those barricades. Everything in New Orleans in the French Quarter has a balcony. All the balconies have poles. Several steel posts, and there's no going around anything. If that barricade's up, that's a wrap. That's your end.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't up
for some bizarre reason that no one
there was also
is going to talk about.
The video. I didn't go back to look at it to see the woman's name, but it was the sheriff of whatever that county is, who was saying that she didn't even know that they existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is...
I'm sorry, what?
You didn't know?
No.
How do you not know the safety procedures?
You can look it up. There's news reports from 2017. City to spend $40 million. I didn't find it. There is stock footage, though, of what these things are like. They're impressive. It is really like... They go flat and you can drive over it, and otherwise they don't raise up completely... perpendicular to the street, they mm-hmm. actually still point forward. Mm-hmm. You cannot drive over it,
mm-hmm. yeah.
even with a monster truck. There's another weird thing. At the time, it's probably part of why the first blink everyone had, including, I presume, city officials, was that multiple people were involved here. The Airbnb he was staying in caught fire, right? Now, what they've done now to the timeline is they've said that he did it on his way out the door to go do his snowplow through partygoers. But if you look at the New Orleans Fire Department statement, they say they responded to the fire at 5:18 a.m. That's 2 hours after.
Right.
He plowed.
So it wouldn't have been burning for 2 hours.
In a city.
Right.
Next to, no. They'd have responded before that. So that strongly suggests that was done by other people cleaning up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is, like I said, this is, I mean, you can go into the details and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know if we should even bother going into too many details about it, just the broad ones that we've been talking about. I mean, what I'm really referencing here is that it's so common that the FBI, it's so well known at this point, that over the past 20 years, particularly since 9/11, the FBI has been basically behind all of the terror plots. They call them terror plots in America, that stories like that, stories revealing that, have appeared in mainstream media newspapers. Like there's this one in The Atlantic, how the FBI helps terrorists succeed. Any chance of getting that up, Scotty? Down a couple of paragraphs. Why is that not working? Each time a domestic terror suspect Since September 11th, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation has claimed many victories in the war on terror. Each time a domestic terror suspect is arrested, the public is then told that another horrific plot has been averted. But after combing through thousands of pages of court documents, investigative journalist Trevor Aronson came to a different conclusion, that most of the men arrested could never have done what they were accused of if the FBI hadn't given them the tools to do so. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. That, you know, that's mainstream media revealing what they can, I suppose, what's patently obvious, and apparently the FBI doesn't really care. Here's another one from the Business Insider. This, it's actually in the Washington Post, I think, but it's behind a firewall. The FBI goes to disturbing lengths to set up potential terrorists. They've busted an impressive number of homegrown terror plots over the past decade, but many people don't realize how these plots materialize. In some cases, they are hatched not from a cave-dwelling fanatic, but actually from the Bureau itself. And like I said, that's just the tip of the iceberg, what these people actually reveal. They do actually reveal that the FBI pretty much finds someone, finds a likely suspect who's mentally disturbed, deranged, otherwise, you know, not very smart.
Or coerced. They have dirt on him. You must do this for us.
That can happen.
Don't
as well.
Worry, it's just a training simulation.
Yeah, they're in some way fooled into doing that, you know, and... fooled or coerced, or like I said, if they're just kind of not smart enough, they end up. The general theme of it is FBI, not the FBI itself, not posing as the FBI, but some guy pretends to be a member of ISIS, a member of Al Qaeda. He's working for the FBI. That's often an asset, whatever that they have. And he goes and he contacts these. An individual or more than one individual and says, hey guys, you know, basically develops a relationship with them, gets inside with them, starts talking to them, becomes their friend. When it's invariably it's to do with Islam, so it's like, hey, you guys want to maybe, you know, you want to join Islam or you want to become Muslims or whatever, or if they're stupid enough, do you want to join Al-Qaeda? Yeah, sure. It also comes with money. Very often they're given money to these people and usually kind of poor and down and out and that kind of stuff, or they have some other issue and they get into their confidence, want to join Al-Qaeda, sure. Then after a while, swears them in. There's actually been cases of this, swearing them into Al-Qaeda, swearing FBI assets, swearing these people into Al-Qaeda with an Al-Qaeda. Oh, okay, now you're like kind of like the Boy Scouts, like the jihadi Boy Scouts, right? Now you're fully-fledged members of Al-Qaeda. And then after a little while, so what are we going to do? Now that we're members of Al-Qaeda, what do you think? Well, you want to blow up the Sears Tower? You want to blow up the Empire State Building? Hey, that'd be cool. Only problem is we don't have anything to do that with. Well, just so happens, I can give you some materials to do that if you feel like doing it. Sure, yeah. And sure. People think nobody would ever, you know, fall for that. Like, who's going to, like, but people, you have to remember, people listen to this and other people, other average people. We're not talking about the average person here. We're talking about people who are specifically identified by the FBI as vulnerable, you know, less than average intelligence people or mentally disturbed in some way to get them to go along with this. And they take them right up to the point of walking down to their location, whatever, with their bomb or their weapons or whatever. And then just before they plant the bomb, and usually it's a fake bomb or something like that, they'll spring out and say, gotcha. And then it's all over the newspaper, FBI files terror plot. That's been the vast majority of those, when you've heard about the FBI foiling terror plots, and a lot of them are actually published as the FBI narrowly foiled a terror plot. You know, this guy was about to blow up the Sears Tower or something, you know, and the FBI, thank God we have the FBI. They basically created the entire thing themselves. And this is on public record, like this is in the mainstream media. So there's only one step from that, which they've done multiple times, to the final step where they jump out from behind the corner and say, gotcha, and then announce a terror plot that they foiled, to just go and, you know what, let's give them a real bomb and let's not jump out from behind the corner this time.
Just yet.
Let's just wait 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Boom. But then, and they have to be careful about that because... They get off on foiling terror plots, obviously, because mainly because it justifies their budget, a big chunk of the defense budget for the FBI. So it's their salaries are behind this. So you don't want to do too many, let too many terror plots that you have orchestrated, the FBI has orchestrated, come to fruition, basically, because then it's not a foiled terror plot. You fucked up. Why didn't you stop this happening? Which is why there haven't been that many, I suppose, you know? So they pick their moments. Because there's questions, obviously, right now, is why didn't the FBI stop this guy? Surely the FBI knew him, and surely the FBI had, you know, surely. But no, apparently not. For all these oopsie, we didn't manage to get him this
yes,
time.
Yes, we knew about him beforehand, and we had records of him, and we knew who he was and what he was doing. But
take that hat off, because I can't take you seriously with that hat on.
Everyone here.
Yeah. So basically, they always seem to somehow know the people beforehand. Yeah, how do they always...
Invariably.
No.
Yeah, they're always he was on our radar, etc. But in this case, in this particular situation, somehow
this
it got away from us. But
this one
then,
is a mixed bag, though, because the car plow ones are sneakier.
Yeah.
Because it's one guy.
Yeah.
He's voluntarily driving it.
Yeah.
And there's clear intent to kill on
mm-hmm.
his part
mm-hmm.
rather than. He was left holding the bomb and someone remotely went boom. He's actually doing it. Now, unless...
Well, it's the same.
You could consider maybe the car was remote hijacked and he may have been in it, but he was like, what the fuck happened to this car? You know,
no,
that can happen.
No, but they don't often... I mean, they use patsies in that respect, but I mean, it's just whether or not they've sacrificed the patsy or not. These people are fundamentally, you know, vulnerable in one way or another to being used. Well, and it's just whether or not they want this terror plot to actually succeed or whether they don't. The vast majority of them, they don't want them to succeed, but the odd ones, they do. But this guy, it's no different. This guy being coaxed and encouraged and manipulated to what he did is no different than coaching and encouraging, manipulating someone to take a bomb down into a building. It's the same thing. Driving a car into people and taking a bomb into the building is no different. The problem is with this one, this when it's a car, it's a real one because it doesn't really get much when the headlines, if you were to stop, there's not much kudos for the FBI if you were to stop him before it happened, right? Because all you'd be is like, well, we stopped this guy in a car.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to run people down. Meh. Next, not a news item. It's different if you can show, you know, this guy being apprehended, pictures of him being apprehended, and you open up his bag and there's a bag with like some weird things in it and wires sticking out of it and stuff. You know, then it's like, wow, this was a real deal.
It's not clear to me where the shooting took place. I know he crashes or it brought to a stop.
He got out of the car and fired the cops.
He gets out of the car and starts firing. The thing is, there is evidence that people were shot on the way down the street. So what they'd said was he's got his foot to the floor and he's shooting as he goes. That's quite a lot to manage, you know. And I'm wondering if that's the case or the other shots coming from somewhere else. Because something like 30 shots were fired throughout. But only several I've heard were fired to actually stop him and apprehend him, get him down the floor.
No, it's possible. It's so easy to have another person there shooting, you know what I mean, from some concealed location, like, you know.
There's one other detail that stands out. Just in the official reporting as of today, this one. Because, like, kind of what I was alluding to with if it's a car plow thing, people go, well, you know, that's him in the car. He's driven to it. You know, the bombs, though, have a look at this. The New Orleans attacker used very rare explosive in bombs. The explosive has never been used before in a U.S. or European terrorist attack.
It can only be found in U.S. military stockpiles.
right, something like that.
Oh, yeah, but so not only did the FBI fuck up and somehow they put the bollards down or didn't have the bollards up and somehow they knew him beforehand but didn't manage to stop him doing this, but they also somehow managed to miss him sneaking into a U.S. arsenal and stealing some super exotic explosives. Yeah, we just didn't catch that one either. Shh, damn. We We're no good, are we?
Is the idea that he, because allegedly he had some kind of like chemistry set up in his house.
Right.
So he was
that
somehow.
Woman going through, through his house. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is some kind of, what did she say? She was describing it. This is some kind of I don't know what word she used. Anyway, like it was like a table. She looked at some tables.
Yeah. And there's chemicals here.
And there's chemicals over here. And here's the Quran. And here's his prayer mat. Mm, very nice.
It's bonkers because they've now got CCTV of him arriving and unloading his pickup at 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Then at 1, he goes to leave, in the official timeline, leave the two cooler boxes of never-before-used uber high-tech mysterious new explosives that he's, what, just chemically put together in the space of 2 hours in the kitchen of his Airbnb. while simultaneously making and uploading 5 videos saying, Allahu Akbar, I did it for the unbelievers. Returning from leaving, he walked from there to Bourbon Street to deposit the 2 cooler boxes, returns home, then gets in the vehicle, comes out at 3 a.m. to do the crowd plow. It's somehow too much for one guy. You understand why the initial response of authorities is like, okay, how many moving pieces are we talking about here?
And then the fire.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, and the fire.
And he doesn't forget to, on his way out, lock the door and set the fuse.
Set fire to the apartment.
For a 2-hour fuse to set the the fire later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're all very meticulously planned, yes.
And the fire had extinguished itself, it reads in that NBC article.
That wasn't a very good fire then.
Allowing for the recovery of evidence, including precursors for bomb-making material, and, of course, the media walkthrough that Jewish New York Post reporter got.
Yeah. Anyway, so, this is just standard operating procedure, FBI, guy put up to it, Patsy basically put up to it. There's no shortage of those people.
And a military guy.
Especially in the military. But anywhere else, really, as if you know the history of these FBI terror plots, the kind of people they go after. So there's plenty of those people around. So
it's not even the weirdest thing that happened on New Year's Day.
No, it's the point of these, we have to assume, is just basically to destabilize, upset, spread fear, and general dysphoria of some description among the American population. I mean, it's just a blunt force instrument. They've been doing it for literally 24 years at this point, periodically in America and in Europe and elsewhere in the world. And the point of it just seems to be to terrorize the population. That's all it is. So they just decide to let's kick off the new year with a little bit of a smackdown on the American people and people in the West in general, let's say, who have a sense of things aren't going right in the world, are they? The world's a bit unstable. Things are crazy. They are. Here's another terror attack.
Normal people on New Year's Eve are like, okay, come together with friends and family. Yeah. Look, renew the little ritual.
Yeah.
Look forward to the new year. Psychos on New Year go, I know they're doing that. So what can I do to upset the party?
Yeah.
And those psychos are in government.
Yeah.
You've got
a
mess. That's what I was thinking as well, especially...
That's all it is. It fits the bill.
Especially with Trump coming in, because so many people are like...
The
MAGAs are so looking forward to it. They've got, countdowns to him coming in and everything being fine again.
Right.
And this is sort of the 7 ways from Sunday's guys going, no, we're still here.
We're going to keep you on edge. So the other event obviously was about 7 hours later or something, about 10 a.m. the next morning, the 1st of January.
7:30.
Was it 7:30 in the morning?
A.m., so it's four hours
later. So 4 hours later in Las Vegas, which is quite a ways away from New Orleans, we have a really, dramatic message, let's say, sent to people who are paying attention, I suppose, and it was really in your face, right? An explosion outside a Trump hotel in Las Vegas with Trump's name on it. Trump going to blow up right outside the Trump sign. A Cybertruck owned by,
of course,
officially
Musk.
Made by Musk. So this was obviously a message to Musk and Trump and to the people that love them and support them.
What does the message say, Joe?
Well, first of all, they've said there's no connection. They were talking about connection initially in the first day. There's a connection. Well, there is a connection, right? A really clear one. They both happened on the same day.
Yeah. With car rentals from the day before.
Just a second.
And the other thing that I thought was interesting from, like, Ian Carroll on Twitter, he has an interesting video talking about the Las Vegas bombing. But his thing, when he was kind of wrapping it up, he was saying that if we see talk of, you know, going to war with China, Iran, that, you know, then we know not to go along with it because this was a, you know, a means of getting us to that point of wanting to go that direction. Yeah. But it's more general than that, like you were saying, where it's like it could simply be not a direct thing that they want you to do, but more of a general like fear and angst. And at the same time, too, with some of the things that the MAGAs are trying to do is cut the budgets of the FBI. Do we really want to get rid of the FBI when clearly we still need them?
So this is, it's really basic stuff. People tend to maybe a bit too kind of like convoluted in their thinking about these kind of things, but these really are blunt force instruments. And like I said, I actually mentioned that with all the FBI terror plots over the years, the reason they went through with those terror plots where they basically, like I said, got a bunch of crazy people to come and join Al-Qaeda and go and pretend, or go and, you know, almost carry out an attack was simply, well, primarily, apart from the social engineering aspect, was to justify the FBI's existence and budget.
Yeah.
This obviously plays into that as well, like you just said, especially with Trump talking about possibly splintering the FBI into 1,000 pieces. I mean, he didn't actually say that, but he should have, them on the CIA. But
His statement after this was, where's the CIA? We need the CIA.
Who, Trump, yeah.
Is he, like, doing his dancing thing again?
Yeah.
Giving the opposite message to what he's supposed to...
Well, I mean, is he being fooled by that in that sense? I mean, it's so obvious. How stupid do you have to be to realize that a government organization like the FBI or any intelligence agency who's under threat from an administration, an incoming administration, to cut their budget would like go, well, how do we stop him from cutting our budget? What do we do again? Protect the homeland? Right. So what if we threaten the homeland in some way? Would that help to justify our budget and stop him from cutting it? Yeah, let's do that. But this one was weird in that sense, just because, like, you could have just left it at that, just another crazy guy. But then people on Twitter started to actually fill in all the details about the setup. Yeah. Now, this thing about the email that he supposedly sent, for me, that's completely spoofed. Someone sent that. This is all of a piece. The two attacks are all of a piece, basically. Obviously not run by the same people necessarily, but two separate operations, but done, obviously, on the same day and for the same basic agenda,
one of them is ex-military, and so you can say, well, he's disaffected, he's turned to Islam. It kind of fits the usual, right?
Yeah.
The other one is alarming because he's active duty Green Beret.
Right, exactly. The history of him, he's just got a basic, let's say a basic history from the point of view of military personnel. He's fairly high level Green Beret, in the military for about 18 years, been to Afghanistan in the past, more recently was in Ukraine, working on drones.
Do we know he was in Ukraine? We know someone found him with a Slava Ukraini shirt.
And that's a picture on his profile, on his wife's Facebook profile.
Yeah.
In 2016. With a Slava Ukraini in Ukraine and with the black and red bandera, so the neo-Nazi type element in Ukraine, their emblem basically, on a T-shirt saying "Glory to Ukraine," and that's weird for someone, you know. I mean, that says a lot right there. You can read an awful lot into that.
The good super soldier should be impartial and
Well, it just points to the fact that he was in Ukraine at that time, mm-hmm. you know. And in fact, the guy who was talking on that show, what's the guy's
the Sean Ryan show,
and the guy he had on there,
Sam Shoemate. He's the one that Lewisberger sent the email to.
In his narrative, talking about the whole situation, he said, "Yeah, we were, it was on Twitter actually. He didn't say it in the interview. He said it on Twitter. Yeah. We were in when I was first deployed to Ukraine as a Green Beret in 2015, and I'm like."
That's not Shoemaker, it's someone else, another former Green Beret.
So Green Berets were... You know,
in Ukraine.
As a result of this, at least, one of them has talked about being in Ukraine in 2015.
And so another one felt it was safe just to say so as well.
Yeah.
When I was deployed to Ukraine in 2015,
yeah.
By the way, what we're referencing here, that's not supposed to have happened. Because remember, Putin's supposed to have invaded Ukraine in 2022, just for no reason
American
whatsoever.
Involvement in Ukraine right. was... Wasn't anything
was
significant.
Out cookies.
Only handing out cookies in 2014 when they overthrew the Ukrainian government. But so anyway, and this email that this guy on the Sean Ryan show,
sure, yeah.
This other Green Beret type guy, he's active. He apparently got an email from the Cybertruck bomber, Leibelsberger, telling him all sorts of things. About making reference to what he was going to do and all this kind of stuff, and this was a wake up call. There was no suggestion that he was going to kill himself, but that he wanted to. He didn't say he was going
to
kill himself.
He referred to getting to the Mexican border,
right?
Suggesting he intended to live,
right? But but the bigger part of it is his reference to Chinese drones. That the drones, referring specifically to the recent drones in New Jersey, and saying that these were Chinese and they have some kind of anti-gravity tech, and that it's kind of game over for America in a certain sense because the Chinese are just... So right there is an element, another reason for doing this, that this plays into this, where this is either... It's probably a spoofed email. I can't be sure, but I would suspect that it's some kind of a spoofed email.
You mean that it's Shoemate really got an email, but it's sent from an impersonator?
Yeah, anybody can send anybody an email and pretend it's from someone else. Like, it's fairly easy to do. So he gets this email supposedly from Leibelsberger. Probably not. Even if it is, it doesn't matter because the messaging in it is to cover up the New Jersey drones last month, in November and part of December, to cover up what they might actually have been, and to pin the blame on China, to put that out there. I mean, I don't know why even put
maybe
that in there. You
it's,
know?
It's a drop. It's like a covert way of a sneaky way of leaking something. But the mainstream media's blink on that confession is that it's insane. Mm-hmm. They're not taking that as, oh my goodness, we have a rationale here for what just happened in New Jersey.
But they don't have any rationale for what happened in New Jersey.
Right, I know.
There's no explanation. Is that not better than none? You know?
Or at least to give people an idea to work with that would be completely within the realm of people's, usual headspace.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it keeps it within a 3D material paradigm and you know, keeps you off the trail of there being anything.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that I think this whole event... It's really only being, I mean, to the extent that it was obviously manipulated in one way or another, similar to the New Orleans attack, but the Las Vegas explosion, Cybertruck explosion, was, it was destined ultimately, the people who carried it out, who were involved in it, like as in the deep state or type elements, they know for sure, I'd say, that the only people that are going to actually dig into this and develop, you know, theories and ideas from it and get some kind of an impression from it are the people on Twitter and other social media sites that actually do that. The vast majority of Americans and the rest of the Western population.
The 10%, I call them.
Yeah. The other 90% of the population, all they know is, some of them don't even know that there was a terror, that there was a Cybertruck blew up outside Las Vegas. Maybe quite a lot of them actually. You want to go and poll in the local community and find that a lot of them don't actually know. In America, a lot of them would have heard about it. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of those people are just like, yeah, it was just some guy did that. So all this investigation that we're getting into and about the letter and or the email and the reference to drones and the reference to Chinese.
It's for our eyes only.
It's for the conspiracy theorists. It's for the people who are digging into it.
Yeah.
So it's a message for them. So it's to sway that section of the population. So all the people that you see on Twitter digging into this and discussing it and reading posts on it and all that kind of stuff, they're getting a message there's a the message is directly aimed at them, and it's to tell them, give them an explanation as to what the drones over New Jersey were. And the answer from the deep state is that it was China, Chinese tech. And they don't even want them to do anything with that. They just want to mix it up.
Yeah.
Just want to mess things up and stir the pot.
They already sent a message via that dipshit from the New Jersey, where he's like, I've heard it from the highest sources. It's an Iranian mothership. Yeah. Obviously, he didn't deliver that well, but this is much better. If you can send it out via a spoofed email to someone you know is going to get on the Sean Ryan show and get it all worked up on Twitter, that's much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And China makes more sense. Yeah. They could plausibly have such tech. That makes more sense than Iranian mothership.
Yeah. So it's all aimed at those people, and it's aimed at Trump and Trump and Musk, obviously. You know, it's aimed at Trump and Musk. You know, this is a message from in the only way that they can really send a message, because they're super deep. You know, they're shady characters who don't actually exist and stuff. You know, this is the way they speak to people, and it's a message to Trump and Musk. And I don't know to what extent. I don't know about Trump, obviously. Maybe what he thinks about it. Neither him nor Musk have made any comment on any of these. I don't know, did they subscribe to any of the kind of conspiracy aspects to it, or to conspiracy theories around it? And do they question any of the narrative? Are they aware of that, you know, at all? Surely Musk, I mean, how stupid would he have to be? Like, I mean,
a Cybertruck
out Trump. Obviously, Musk and Trump have concluded that this was a message to them. What are their options? Their options, I think, this is just one crazy guy who was just off his rails, and let it go at that. That's the easy one to just dismiss and say it's nothing. Or if they have any awareness of there being a deep state, and, you know, like, does think Trump has an awareness of the deep state after last July? What is Trump? That's a good question. I mean, why can no one ask Trump, look, Donald, do you think that guy, after everything that's been talked about, that assassination attempt against you, you know, the sloped roof, how the roofs were too slopey for the SS to be on them, and all the debate about that, do you think it was just that guy, Crooks, on his own, who decided to try and kill you? I mean, all these people
hanging
out...
Don Jr. doesn't.
Right, he
speaks for him on that.
Right.
Look, of course.
If he's aware that there are people out to get him within inside the establishment in America, right? Mm-hmm. Let's assume that he's aware of that to some extent, and he gives some validity to it, and therefore Musk does as well. Then on New Year's Day, a Cybertruck blows up outside the Trump Hotel. How do they interpret that? Do they factor that into that? Do they pull on the idea that, well, someone within this country with a lot of power and influence just tried to kill me last summer. And now this event, is this another message from those people?
Absolutely.
Or is it just some crazy guy who just decided to blow a Cybertruck up outside Trump Hotel? It's just a coincidence that Mr. Andrew. And
I think
what do they do about it?
This is how, when you get in the big league, this is how communication happens.
Yeah.
They're cycles. They communicate in this way all the time.
They're messaging.
It's the lower level, it's the dead horse's head, the mafia.
Right,
that's how they communicate. This is, you go in the big league, and they can not only just detonate a truck, and it's fairly harmless in that it only gets to be reported as a suicide, therefore one death. But they can also kill a lot of people in a bomb attack. Not blame you, you won't be blamed for it, but it gives you a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It immediately took me back to 2017. When the single worst atrocity in American civilian history, anyway, at least since the Indian Wars, took place in Las Vegas. At the time, you know, we grappled with motive. And you remember the theories people came up with to try and make sense of it.
The single
most popular conspiracy theory about the Las Vegas mass shooting is that it was an assassination plot against Saudi MBS or his sidekick gone sideways, and or they used shooting down at the crowd as a distraction to attempt to do a whack job.
Mm-hmm.
You see how they have to go, and the only other motivation they got was, it's just a crazy guy called Paddock. Yeah, done. We don't know what his motivation was. That was it. That's the official line on what happened there.
And move on, yeah.
Obviously, Trump mind will be taken back to that event, because that event stood out. There was another one. There was a there was one other mass shooting that was kind of looked like a put-up job, the Parkland one, and there was one that shortly after, actually, later in October, 29 people were killed in a church in Texas. But other than those two other ones, Las Vegas was the only major incident, and it was in the first year of Trump's presidency. And I'm reaching here, but what else can you go with? It targets mostly your Trump supporter types because it's a conservative type country music festival, although it's Las Vegas, the most liberal city ever. But still, you're hitting Trump's base. So we can hurt your people.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, it's not that. It's not so much what are you going to do about it. It's sending, like you said, it's sending a message, and it's making Trump and whoever else they want to make aware of it that they have this capability, that they exist, and they have this capability, and that he's on notice. Basically, you've got a new administration, and your administration is going to have to work within the confines that we set.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How will we? Well, Trump's like, well, how will I know what I can and can't do? And they'll say, well, you've got advisors, right? There's certain people who will let you know what's good and what's right and what's not right. But I can see for so long, despite all the evidence of that kind of a secret government, let's say a behind the scenes and deep state, having existed in America for a very long time, how so many people, obviously most Americans don't pay any attention to this kind of stuff at all, so they're not even in the game. But the ones that do pay attention to it or are looking at that kind of stuff are really reluctant to admit that exists. Because it kind of is game over in a certain sense.
Yeah.
Because you can't do your kind of like, yay, Trump's going to save America.
You can't vote your way out of that.
You can't vote your way out. And what do you do with a group of people who have shown time and again that they have the ability to kill the people you care about?
Right. And they don't care.
And they don't care.
They'll do it happily.
Yeah, they'll do it happily. I mean, it's a similar thing to what Israel's done in the past to get other countries in line.
Right.
And, you know, it's the same thing here where the U.S. government is telling, well, the deep state is telling Trump, like, I know you said you wanted to splinter us and, you know, cut our budgets and everything, but you've got to remember that we still have way more power than you think.
We hold the keys to the kingdom, basically.
Yeah.
We're in charge here, and it's going to go the way we dictate. So most of the Americans that are paying attention are politically aware and stuff, who come across this stuff, they don't want to go there because they know that it kind of ruins the whole party. You know, like you said, you can't vote your way out of it, and it means that it doesn't really matter who gets in power, that there's an agenda that's going to be fulfilled that is not in the interests of the American people or any people anywhere, and there's not much you can do about it.
Maybe we're not the greatest country in the world that has ever existed. It's kind all of existential. Stuff,
yeah. But you have to be able to let go of your sacred cows or you're not going to see.
Sean Ryan,
see what's going on,
thought that maybe this guy, Livelsberger, wanted to speak out about war crimes he witnessed in Afghanistan, because that's mentioned in the email.
Get a Twitter account.
I know. Well, what's with the Cybertruck? But then, what did he think he was doing? They have footage now from the Cybertruck itself. It live streams footage from the bodywork everywhere it goes. And it's him in his last stop before entering Nevada in Kingman, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He looks calm as a cucumber. He's inspecting the truck.
He's cleaning it off.
He's got the charger in. He's got a headlamp.
He's going to blow it up tomorrow.
He doesn't look like a guy who's about to go on a suicide mission.
No. Yeah. But those people like that, people like him, especially in the military, you know, and I don't know, it's the impression I get from some of his home videos and stuff that I saw.
You know, he was a star soldier.
Yeah, but I don't get the impression that he's the most, I mean, the vast majority of members of the military are steeped in that whole culture from a fairly young age, and they've just inured themselves in it over the years that they've been in the military. And I don't think many of them are, if they had any sense really, they wouldn't be involved in it at all. By definition, anybody in the US military, at least anybody who's there for a long time and that kind of stuff,
would have got out by now. Otherwise,
they're not very well informed.
Yeah.
Or they're immoral and they don't care. And in that sense, then they get selected for the kind of deep state operations on that kind of stuff. Or they themselves have been
wittingly involved, or otherwise.
Well, they themselves have been involved in all sorts of psyops and all that kind of stuff. There's a psyops division within the US military, right? So anybody who's part of that is obviously not going to talk about it, and anybody who isn't part of it, I think maybe, and this guy fits the profile, Leibelsberger, is by definition just a gullible, bit wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, regardless of how far he's gone in the military, he's still a bit of a noob in that sense, you know, like in terms of how the world actually works. And it's perfect fodder for being manipulated to, hey, we need you to come down to Las Vegas, rent a Cybertruck.
And take the long way around.
Any narrative, if it's a superior, the whole thing about the military is you do what you're told, right?
Yeah.
So you get a call from someone who you believe is your superior, you're sure is your superior. And you're told, you're given a narrative about some kind of special operation that we need you to come here and do this and do that and do the other. And they spoof an email from him that's not actually written by him at all with the whole Chinese drones and all that kind of stuff. And they just get him to Las Vegas.
Did you mention this already about him being part of the psychological warfare division?
Yeah, no, he wasn't, as far as we know. He wasn't part of the... There's maybe a psyops aspect to a lot of different... Like Green Beret training and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think he was part of that actual psyops...
he wasn't a nerd type.
Operation, you know.
He's a nuts and balls guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And... but you get him... I don't know. You get him to Las Vegas and... You know, who knows? I mean, there's maybe a crossover where he maybe did go a bit off the rails, whatever. Who knows? There's not much. There's a lot of people.
And then became expendable.
Yeah. A lot of people claim who they know him and they worked with him, you know, because he was fairly high up. 18Z, whatever it was, was the kind of ranking, whatever, in the Green Berets. So a lot of people knew him and stuff and said that he was a pretty normal guy, that kind of stuff. But who knows what happened over the past X number of years or whatever, or who was working on him, you know? You can get pulled off into some side thing where you're given special privileges and you're brought into a special operation and all this kind of stuff. And you can see how, if you're gullible enough and you don't know how these kind of things work, that you can end up being led by the nose to be in a position that you don't want to be in, you know? I mean, you mentioned Mossad there. The Israelis have been doing that kind of stuff with Palestinians for a very long time. Like, I mean, albeit slightly differently, let's say with Palestinians, they have kind of turned in a certain sense. You know, they've arrested them and told them that you're either going to prison or you're going to kind of work for us. You know, and then it's okay. We need you to take a backpack from this house on this day, from somewhere in Tel Aviv to another place, and we need you to deliver it to a guy. Your contact in a falafel stand in the middle of Tel Aviv. If you go in there at 1 p.m., he'll be there shortly afterwards and you hand the backpack over to him. So the Palestinian guy walks into the falafel stand with the backpack, duly waits for his contact to come in and get the backpack before the contact arrive. The backpack and him and the falafel stand blows up. Mm-hmm. And what do you have? You've got a Palestinian suicide bomber.
Yeah.
So just one example, and that's, you know, testified to. That's happened many times, so...
it's child's play to get someone somewhere in place. It could be the same also for this Jabbar guy in New Orleans. I mean, they're a bit more generous with the CCTV footage of him on the streets, of him unloading the truck at his Airbnb, et cetera, et cetera, and of him verified. That's, we see him afterwards lying dead next to the truck. He was there for sure.
For sure, yeah.
In Leibelsberger's case... Are we sure it's him?
Don't know. Well, I mean, the first report was that the body was so badly burned by the police. Like,
right, and they couldn't identify.
They said, we don't know. The guy.
Well,
he actually said, we don't know if this is actually the guy that we think it is. All we have is this ID and passport that somehow managed to survive this inferno that was going on in the cab of the truck. But we don't know if that's him because he's so badly burned.
In the press conference that the sheriff... gave, they showed some pictures. One of them was the picture of his right arm, I believe. He had a tiger tattoo, and so they show the picture of this charred body, and it looks like it might possibly be a match, but the positioning is weird. I'm not entirely convinced that it lines up correctly. They show another tattoo that his wife says that he had on his stomach, and they just show the picture of the tattoo, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's as far as that goes. And so if this is the body that they said that they recovered, then, you know, yeah, all the hair is going to be burned off mm-hmm. and it's going to be pretty disfigured. Mm-hmm. Especially if, like I was saying earlier, where later on in that same press conference, they were saying that the coroner was reporting that the guy died of a gunshot wound to the head that was self-inflicted. And so he put the gun in his mouth and fired, and the bullet came out of his left cheek.
Which is a 50 caliber gun.
If this is a Desert Eagle... Which is...
Is that what they're still saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
50 cal. Yeah, they showed the gun.
You can look on YouTube. That people use a close-up headshot on dummies of what happens. You decapitate the head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, exactly.
Close
exactly.
range 50 cal. Yeah, for sure.
Even if it's not 50 caliber, if it's... like, that's not a 9mm bullet. Mm-hmm. Those things are big mm-hmm. for a Desert Eagle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can...
But they're 50 cal, yeah.
So you could... I just don't see how you're going to, like I was saying before, I don't see how you're going to be able to get dental records from something like that. And that's what one of the things that they said that they used to identify the guy.
Yeah.
Along with the identification, which number one, we should make bulletproof vests out of passports because those things are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're saying that survived because it was underneath debris in the back where all the explosions happened. Mm, mm. So that's the first thing. Mm. The second thing, the reason why they had his military ID was because it was in his wallet, which had fallen back behind him, like behind the seat in mm-hmm. the back. Mm-hmm. And they show the billfold, and they show like some of the other cards that were allegedly in the wallet. And yeah, they were like pretty charred, but none of them were like completely melted. Like, but the wallet was looking pretty roughed up. So it's like, I don't know that I believe.
Yeah, this is Las Vegas. You can't believe anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's FBI and higher up as well. But again, it brings him back to 2017. Like, the timeline of when he died exactly. There's now, like, 2 seconds of footage. Is it zoomed in? Is it new footage? Which appears to show him sitting in the front of the driver's seat at the moment of the explosion. Has he already shot himself?
No.
They're saying simultaneously. How did he time that? A self-inflicted gunshot wound and then a timer on the bomb?
That's the other thing that doesn't make sense because so they're saying that this is what he did. He put the gun in his mouth and he shot, and they're saying that it was simultaneous between the shot and the explosion. But then in that video where it's zoomed in and it's slowed down and you can clearly see there's someone sitting there, their head goes slightly to the left, and then there's a big boom in what seems to be the kind of like... the well of the passenger side. So kind of like lower and down to the right. So where is the gunshot? Because you don't see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas is the most surveilled city on earth. Unlike New Orleans, they're not churning out the footage. Mm-hmm. They've shown select footage so far of his vehicle arriving early and leaving mm-hmm. the valet area in front of Trump Hotel, but not the return.
Yeah. This is just for reference. This is the first one is the actual shot, a still of the Cybertruck on fire after the explosion. As you can see, it's pretty. The cab there is pretty, and that was burning for a while before it was extinguished. And then, so you know, his wallet,
yeah,
in the cab.
That's the other thing too. This is
be a bit toasty at this
these
point.
These are lithium
no?
batteries. Mm. Those things are like unbelievably explosive.
Right. And the second one is just, you don't really get, it'd be nice if we had a closer up shot of it, but it's just, it's a video. If you just play that, you can see that, yeah, the
We'd
floor.
Like to highlight a couple of things that the team's found.
Both sides, the floor of it is, just take the cursor away, or, yeah, go back to, just freeze it at the truck. You can see both the front and the back. Well, I think there's other more video, whatever. But the front, you see the back and the front floor, and you know, there's just the frame of the two seats. Like the seats in the back are gone. You know, in this video, there's nothing left of the two seats. It's just ash in the back two seats there, and the front. You can see there's the two front seats are still. The frames of them are still there, but in the front where those two guys are bent over, the floor and that general area of the front two seats and the floor in front of the front two seats is is all just charred to nothing. Okay, okay. So of course, if the body is unrecognizable, it's very, very, it's burned for quite a while and it's fairly intense heat, right? So passport survives.
But the thing, no. So this reminds me of,
bullshit.
What was his name?
ID survives.
Aaron Bushnell or something? The guy who set himself on fire.
Outside the Israeli embassy.
Outside of the Israeli embassy. Like when he goes off, when he, you know, lights himself, it's like, you know, 20 seconds and like all of his skin is burned. So if he's in a lithium fire, how am I still able to see his distinct tattoos? On his
arm. Right.
Especially if it's on his right side where the explosion happened. I just don't, like, you're going to have to explain this to me because I don't believe it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm leaving open the possibility that, you know, he himself was, had just kind of lost it or had his head messed with and decided to, you know, go out in a ball of flames or whatever to make some silly point that...
To Trump, who his family said he supported.
Yeah. Hello? I mean, you obviously have to have your head messed with to do that. Yeah. Like, but either that or... And he went there and actually just, you know, somehow shot himself and set the explosive off at exactly the same time. The official story from the Las Vegas police is that it happened simultaneously.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take their word for it. You have to take that literally, right? Simultaneously. At exactly the same time, or, you know, so you try it, don't try it yourself, don't try this at home, right? But, you know, imagine how you might manage to shoot yourself and push a button for a detonator at the same time.
He had gas cylinders, maybe he's opened them, and firing the shot was the spark that set off the gas. Just... I'm trying to make it work.
Yeah, it's
I haven't tried this, so.
But like the Las Vegas police themselves are saying, like, yeah, we don't know really about that, how he shot himself and set off the explosive at the same time. At this point, we're thinking it happened simultaneously because there's no way to make the two fit really, you know, without jumping through so many hoops or doing a bunch of mental gymnastics. So, so it's possible that he did it himself, but I don't think so. I don't think he shot himself, and I don't know why they included that fact into the narrative. I've no idea why they would have said that.
Just have the bomb kill him.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's deranged and he thinks he's got a big enough bomb and he's just going to blow himself up and that's it, you know.
Well, if the coroner's now giving forensics like shot himself in the mouth and it came out the cheek, he's seen something. On somebody, that's why he's saying it. And before that, there was already we can ID him. He's so charred, but the news was saying, based on what they were being told, it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So somebody was sure that happened, and they can't back away from that. Yeah. It's one thing to have that falsely reported on day one, but we're 6 days in and they're still saying that. So they can't walk that back.
So that, or an alternative would be, you know. I don't know. He had planned, he was a bit deranged and had planned to go down and he, as he said himself in this supposed email, although if it's not from him, there's no point in referring to the email, but the idea that he would blow up a Cybertruck without him in it outside Trump Hotel to make some kind of a point. You know, that's a timer or something and he walks away and then someone else blows it up before he can do it himself and sacrifices him. Because they don't want him to have, you know, dead men
have no tails.
So, if that happened, if say he got out of the Cybertruck, walked away, blew it up, then is apprehended and then is interrogated and investigated and all that kind of stuff, then you'd have too much information coming out about who he was working with.
The other element in that email, that's catnip for the drones issue, is that he had a pinned location attached to it, which was Groom Lake, Nevada.
Attached to what?
Attached to the email. It's referred to in the email, right. And then there's an attachment, and you open it up, and it's a Google pin on Groom Lake, Nevada, a.k.a. Area 51.
But you see, that right there is just makes me, you know, argues for the idea that this is for Twitter and social media conspiracy theorists to put that in there. Because was he in Groom Lake? Was he at Area 51? Was he flying around? I mean, you can go anywhere you want with this in a certain sense. You can say, okay, let's start again. He was selected by deep state or, you know, alien tech dudes within, you know, the US military or something, and told that he was had a special qualities that they needed, and they were going to bring him and show him some UFOs or some super high tech drones or something in Groom Lake in Area 51. And he went there, and then they took him into a room and injected him full of stuff and messed with his head. Who knows? I mean, literally, you can go anywhere, but that's why I wouldn't even go there, because like there's too much bait in this in this story. It's so like you got to make it up yourself. You know what I mean?
It's been communicated to the 10% sleuths who are interested in Q drops.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
A Q drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, connect the dots, guys.
Yeah.
Go mad with it.
Yeah.
UFOs, drones, aliens.
Yeah, it's just trying to seed that into the that conspiracy theory space on social media to try and just muddy the waters and mess people up and stop people. Because like, what's really needed in this whole situation is clarity and perspicacity and going back to basics and not taking any of their bullshit, not going off on tangents, not imagining things, not making things up, not going Hollywood movie type things, you know, to just stay, go back to basics, which is that what we talked about already, which is that there's clearly a deep state that has been operating in America and running America for the past, well, I don't know, go back to JFK if you want to
report.
And
is entrenched and has access to all the back doors.
Right, and can do whatever they want, and you can't vote your way out of it. And they don't have very good intentions towards the American people or the people of the world in general.
Or the incoming government.
They love war, and they love population control, and they love fucking with the population and messing with the population. And they're treating them like sheep, basically. And they don't have good intentions for you, and you need to recognize that. And you don't have to do anything about it. You just need to recognize that and forget about everything else. Like, just go,
I know.
We don't have a government in this country. This country's fucked. America is fucked. America and
it's
all
the
of
Wild
us,
West.
And all of its allies are fucked.
It's the high-tech Wild West.
Yeah. And
for good measure, New Year's Day, my analogy isn't so far-fetched anymore. Like, cycles get together and go, New Year's Eve's coming up, guys. What do we do? They have a Cybertruck blow up with fucking fireworks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's their version of New Year's Eve. This is what they do.
Because sick New Year's Eve.
We don't know for sure, but cast your mind back to last New Year's Eve. You remember the incident because it was a non-event, but it spurred a whole shitload of sleuthing online that convinced people that aliens had landed in Miami. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
But in fact, we think the reason there were 400 cop cars out there was because they got wind that a terror attack was going down, mm-hmm. and it was called off or botched or something. There mm-hmm. was supposed to be a New Year's Eve terror special last year,
mm-hmm.
and it got botched. So they deviated it online through PSYOPs afterwards into Miami aliens have landed.
Yeah.
And that's not dissimilar to what just happened here.
Yeah. These people are just... they're just operating with, they're trying to mess with the minds of people who have some awareness of the nature of
reality,
of the government and who runs America and who runs the world effectively, the types of people who are behind closed doors. The classic conspiracy theory, like people who are onto that, and the reason that at this point they're trying, it's kind of gaining steam, and has gained steam, especially since COVID has produced a lot of kind of
newbies,
awakened a lot of people, and it's gaining steam, or it's growing in they're growing in numbers, those that section of the population, and they want to just divert them in any way they can. And the big question that everybody who realizes that, which I think is what this kind of event shows, is the big question people like that should have is, what are they trying to divert us from? If they're doing this, if they're seeding our social media and they're getting us to come up with the whole psyop ourselves in a certain sense and to go in all sorts of directions just because they drop little pieces like Groom Lake and Chinese drones and anti-gravity drones and this and that and the other. They're trying to get us to come up with this convoluted theory.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't go anywhere near that.
Because we might end up leaving them in charge, mm-hmm. or realizing, oh, we do need them.
Yeah.
Because they're looking after our best interests. Yeah. In quote, the war against China or the war against the aliens, whichever tack you take.
It smacks of desperation in a certain sense, in terms of them targeting that 10%, as you say, of conspiracy-minded people, i.e. people who have a bit of clue about what's going on or have woken up to what's going on and realize that reality isn't exactly the way the government says or the mainstream media says. It smacks of a desperation on the part of those deep sitters to engage in this level of subterfuge, which is... It's desperate, you know. It's kind of stupid. Yeah. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to achieve any of their goals, you know. And again, like I said, the question is, what are they trying to distract us from? Simply the fact that they exist, that they do run the country, there is a deep state, and what their real intentions are, and, you know, what their goals are, for the population, for the world in general. But, I mean, you can do that, and you can think about that if you want, but ultimately you can just sit back and watch it as well. But as long as you have that information that these people are batshit crazy, they're clinically insane, is the other aspect to it. And that's part of the problem. You can't ascribe too much rationality to these people.
No.
Because as time goes on, they are kind of clinically insane themselves. Like, as far as in comparison to the average person, they literally should be in a mental hospital in terms of the plans and ideas they have for the planet. So as time goes on, they're going to... That insanity is going to manifest itself more and more, and in events like this, in their plots and their dastardly deeds type thing, are going to become more and more
convoluted
and feckless and
trip up their own rationales, because what you can do, I don't know if it's intended or not, but a byproduct of this is, oh, he was a Muslim. Deport them. You know, which may or may not play into what they want, but you end up giving support to a movement or an idea that you're actually trying to suppress madly over here, because that's taking things in the direction you don't want, you know? Like that's what you were saying back in the days of Brexit and the mass immigration and the war on terror. The war on terror produced, obviously, streams of migrants coming to Europe, but also the popular backlash against the neoliberal "we're all one world" agenda. Come on, take millions of people. No, war on terror? Oh, yeah. Well, no, forget about that. Shit. We just got caught up. We've been hoisted on our open heart.
Exactly, yeah. And it's a problem in their agenda. Like, the more, if these people, you know, let's assume these people have this kind of an agenda for the planet, an evil agenda to you know, I don't know, do away with, like, green, you know, do away with fossil fuels.
Meat.
Do away with meat. Force people to eat crickets.
Eat the bugs.
Yeah. And all the other
And only anything. And you will invent everything and be happy.
Right, exactly. Their brave new world that they want to usher everybody into is fundamentally anti-human. And in trying to push that forward, they're going to create a backlash from the people who aren't willing to accept that. There's an awful lot of people who will accept it because they'll believe the mainstream media narrative. The government said it's good for us, so I'm going to eat my crickets. But a lot of people are not going to respond that way and are going to have their eyes open more and more to the nature of these people that run the planet. So the problem is, what do you do about them?
You give them a Presidential Medal of Honor.
You should. But, oh no.
The roll call this year was something else.
That was something. Mitt Romney's father, Hillary Clinton,
Bono, George Soros.
No, I mean, what do you do? What do they do about the people that have woken up? You know, that's a big problem for them. The more they try and control the entire, you know, global population one way or another, the more people are going to awaken to their agenda. People have the eyes to see, and that's a problem for them. So what do they do about those people? So more and more of their efforts have to be targeted at muddying the waters and distracting and diverting those people away from the
like
truth.
Like that meme with the laser and the cats.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And one of the cats just goes. Yeah. That's so cool, isn't it? In the background, so this is the headline stuff, but last week we were talking about the furore over Musk and Vivek's stance on H-1B visas. That's gone away in a sense because somehow, I don't know if Musk intended it this way, but it's parlayed into a massive bashing of the British government, riling Brits to anger, really, over the Pakistani pedo gangs, which are really, that's what they are. What's curious about this is that it's flared up now, even though I could find no specific development in any ongoing case or government investigation or trial. It just seems that people on December 30th suddenly began sharing screenshots. I think I found the source account, I'm not sure though, of graphic descriptions of the torture and abuse young girls were subjected to. The case in question that people saw, the screenshots of that trial, that's from 2013, huh? 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing. It's a real problem. Is it ongoing? I'm pretty sure it is, because the British government has generally politically tried to just hush it up because of racism, and that's totally backfired on them. But like I say, my main interest here is what is Musk? Has he got a plan? He's pushing for regime change here. He's calling for, Charles, I petition you. You've got to get rid of Starmer.
Mm-hmm.
We want elections now. And the British media is like, what the fuck is an onslaught of...
And the AFD in Germany.
And the AFD the week before that.
He's going to regime change all of Europe. Let him turn on Macron.
It's like his first job in Doge isn't to clean up the US government. They want to sweep
clean up the world, but that's America's mandate. World policeman.
Well, no, but world policeman of the fuzzy wuzzies way over there. But you've never seen a US government turn on the strategic partnership with our greatest ally. No,
but they are world policemen. And if you get a new administration in with people like Musk and Trump, then they can turn that on their allies, because America has no friends. It's only got interests. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hasn't that always been true?
Yeah, but they've never
been so open about it.
They're in complete tandem with whatever London says. I've never seen such a direct clash.
Well, that's London. But what about its allies in general? Its European allies. Usually it's covert. I mean, the fact that they have no friends, only interests, has always been the reality and has always played out. It's just played out covertly behind the scenes, and the friends, quote unquote friends or allies, never said anything about it. But with Trump and Musk and this new administration coming in, it's like that maxim of America has no friends, only interests, is going to be openly engaged. Point in being behind the scenes about it, you know. It won't be like we're going to blow up Nord Stream 2 and blame it on the Ukrainians, i.e. fucking over the German economy. It'll be, we're going to blow up Nord Stream 2, and or else you better do what we say. Do you know what I mean? It'll be open, you know. And also it'll be, Starmer needs to go, UK government is corrupt, get rid of it, don't like what they're doing, those Germans, fuck them too, bunch of Nazis, bring the AFD in. They'll be saying all this stuff openly and doing all this stuff openly.
Breaking news on this is this... At first he was supporting Farage. Look at this headline now. He wants... Elon Musk says Farage doesn't have what it takes as reform UK leader.
As reform UK leader describes a comment as a surprise. I agree with him. Farage doesn't have what it takes. Farage had the opportunity to take over the Conservative movement in the UK in 2016 over Brexit.
Yeah.
And he backed away from it. He let the Conservatives. Because... he's a bit of a douchebag. Like, I mean, he's too much. He's too inured in the establishment politics in the UK. Only someone like Musk can take a look at this whole situation and say things like that. Yeah. Because he's not a politician.
Yeah.
I mean, he's saying the stuff that I would say, or any of us would say,
mm-hmm.
if we had his voice and felt we had the political leverage and power to actually do it. He would say all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd be able to see it. You know, you'd be able to see it behind the scenes. You'd have access to the kind of political information, you know, within Washington DC. It's interesting he's saying this after, you know, becoming, he's going to be the head of Doge, whatever, Department of Government Efficiency and stuff. He's obviously already in the last 2 months, whatever, since he seems to have kind of the Trump administration has started the transition process, and Trump, and Musk is part of that. He's obviously getting a lot of access to information, and I think it'll be interesting.
And this is obviously happening with Trump's blessing.
Yeah,
probably. Trump wants the regime change the UK.
Yeah, for sure. But there'll be a lot more of this. Like Musk in particular, you know, Trump isn't saying stuff like that, but Musk is saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Musk is saying, because Trump at least now is a politician, because he's spent at least one administration in the White House and he's been around the whole, that whole arena for the past 8 years.
But messages.
Right.
He knows, but, he's learned
but,
the lingo.
But Musk is super new and he's autistic, partly autistic. So he's like, he's having his eyes open. He's like, holy shit, because he's getting all this information as part of the transition team. And he's going, oh my God.
I bet he's been told how the deep state workaround comes from Britain often. Like, we all saw that, I suppose, but he will have seen something else beyond just the Steele dossier of how MI6 loops back into the UK. But there's also a personal reason. He would have had... he would have had direct experience not 6 months ago of how the British regime, as opposed to the recently elected official cabinet, operates. I think it's just 6 months ago. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's the right link. What's the date on that, Scotty? Scroll down. Holy shit, it's 2 months ago. Of course this is directly, and look at this is him swinging back. So group that wants to, quote, kill Musk Twitter shares address with Labour Together is like a, don't know what to call it, like a PAC in Britain, you know, the American version. Anyway, it's called the Centre for Countering Digital Hate. Remember this? This is like a GONGO, a government-organized non-governmental organization, which is really British deep state, setting up a group, and I think they got doxed. Somehow the minutes of their meetings were leaked, and top of the agenda every day all last year was kill Musk Twitter, i.e. get in there, agitate, distract, destroy, through sock puppets, through disinfo campaigns, psyops, etc. So Musk, he knows what's just happened. Everyone saw it. And he will realize that the guy in question, the guy who started this workaround from Britain, is now the Prime Minister Starmer's chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Irish guy.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name.
So, Paddy McDouchebag.
Yeah, that's his name, I believe. So, yeah, I wonder if this is him directly swinging back. This is partly why he's been so hyped up on this, hopped up on...
Yeah, but it's, you can expect this to increase as well as Trump, because he isn't. They haven't even taken over yet, you know?
Yeah.
There's another 2 weeks before they actually take over, and then once he's in there, access to information... about what's really going on and the kind of stuff Musk's going to say. Maybe he'll put a target on himself. Like.
For assassination. he's been candid about that. He says he's... Yeah, I'll try and do that and this. Well, unless I'm assassinated. So he knows, but I don't think he... Yeah.
Is he going to be able to handle it, or is he going to crack under the pressure?
Well, this is what we don't know, because the H-1B visa thing showed a guy cracking.
Yeah. And it's not...
Before even getting to...
You haven't even started yet.
Who, him?
Yeah.
But he's not cracking, though.
Okay, maybe it didn't. But...
That's not a crack.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah, but... We don't want to get into the whole H-1B visa thing, but the bottom line is that neither Trump nor Musk nor Ramaswamy nor any of them were ever... I mean, they were publicly saying it as part of their campaign promises. We talked about this last week. But in reality... They said it needs to be overhauled. It's not a good system. We need to do something about it. But they never suggested that they... Well, I think Ramaswamy says it needs to be gutted. But what do you mean by that? There was never a case where they were going to say, okay, shut down H-1B altogether and give all the jobs to Americans. That's not how it works. That's not how America works. It's not even their ideological stance. It's not even them saying, like, we like immigrants. The bottom line is that America, for a very long time, has been functioning on the productivity of immigrants. You cannot just get rid of them all. And if H-1B is, okay, it needs to be modified or changed or streamlined in a certain way, but the idea of just getting rid of it altogether was always a ridiculous thing for anybody to turn around and demand that either Trump or Musk adhere to. Like, take a hard line on this. H-1B goes never again, no more, not one more Indian into this country. They were never going to do that. So to say that he cracked on it, like that was his former position, which it wasn't. And that's some
no,
deep,
I'm thinking more about his...
And some no, deep state came in.
It was just his, really. It was
oh, he cracked me, in terms of behavior.
Yeah, yeah. That was all I was saying.
But he just, that
was just that he, his reaction to people's stance on that, and particularly after, what was it? Eric Weinstein's article started gaining traction again, where he detailed the reason for the H-1B visas being to, you know, reduce PhD wages, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you start to see people were noticing that their reach suddenly went down.
Mm-hmm.
And now Elon is saying, like, you know, I want this place to be a more positive.
People are focusing on that. He said positive and tweets or posts should be more focused more on positivity and information, or informational and positive.
Yeah,
but that's still coming off the back of
all
of this, and so that's where I'm looking at his reaction to it and the policy change that came after the fact that this seemed to have triggered him.
Mm. And that's, well, what and triggered that's him is the question. And is it does his reaction have anything to do with him being somewhere on the autism spectrum? There's people who have commented on that, actually, people who are, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists, people who work with people with autism, and they say, look, we understand why you react this way, because I've seen it an awful lot where you basically don't read the room and your emotions get worked up, whatever, and then you overreact, you act out, you're not being very socially, social etiquette isn't, that's gone out the window because of the way your brain works, basically. But so there's that possible explanation for his overreaction, although he did use a phrase, and it's not unlike him to use that phrase from or the quote from Tropic Thunder, right? So he wasn't saying that from his heart type thing. He was using a phrase from a movie just to express that he's serious about this. And my question is, what was he saying that he's being serious about, that he'll go to war over this?
The racists.
Was the people who were jumping on race, I mean, on... He would say anyway that it was the racist element where they were these people were clearly against H-1B visas for racist reasons rather than for any Make America Great reasons. And saying that to someone like Trump or to Musk or even to Trump, both of whom employ a lot of people from other, not only naturalized or Americans, indigenous Americans, let's say, Native Americans. What's the phrase you use? Anyway, because Native Americans has connotations. What did you use last week? You described, instead of using, if I want to say a native born American, not Native Americans.
Cause they're Native at this point.
Yeah, but that gets confusing. Anyway, Native born Americans.
My family's been there for hundreds of years, so right. I'm calling myself a Native.
You're a Native born American. people who are born in America of other races and cultures, and people who have come in on visas from other countries, both Musk and Trump employ a lot of those people and like them and are friends with them. So put yourself in their position and you see a bunch of racists coming out and saying that kind of thing, and especially Musk. Trump hasn't said anything really on this, but anything explicit, but Musk was very explicit about it, and given his Asperger's type condition and the fact that he's got a lot of his best friends are Indian, you can maybe understand why he took that stance. Whether that means he's going to double down on H-1B visas and say screw the American worker, screw the native born American worker, I'm going all out for the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think we can say that. We'll have to wait and see.
And
you know.
Then from but again, how one are you day going to the determine? Next, racism bad must be rooted out into the Pakistani grooming gangs issue.
Exactly.
Do you think he noticed the irony himself, or is he doing this thing?
Well, but it's not even an irony in that respect, because he's talking about for example, people he knows and employees and friends of his who are nice Pakistanis and who are nice Indians, And here he's in the UK. Course, he's talking about evil Pakistanis. So he would be an equal opportunity. He's not. He would be the last person in his mind who you'd be able to accuse of being racist or super anti-racist. He's like neither of those things. I'm against malfeasance and evil in this world, and I want to stop it. So he's actually a liberal. Musk is actually a liberal.
Yeah.
At heart. Yeah. But he's not a libtard.
Yeah.
In the sense that he doesn't have that, you know, what do you call it? What's the taste bud? The CARE Foundation taste bud, where everybody, anybody who's a minority or anybody who is just superficially seen as being in some kind of oppressed or can in any way be described as being oppressed, then they have to get my support. That's a libtard, right?
Yeah.
Because there's libtards in the UK who would say, who would criticize anybody for talking about the grooming gangs in the UK because you're being racist. So they would prioritize just the basic generalized concept of racism. If it smells a little bit of racism, then I have to be against it.
Yeah.
Even if the people that are involved, that I'm supporting, are actually rapists. You know, so that's why it's called libtard, because there's no thought behind it whatsoever. But with Musk, it seems to be that he's just, there's good and there's bad. And they're pretty obvious, you know what I mean? They're pretty clear. And he'd call out certain things. So when he had that reaction on Twitter, he was calling out what he saw as actual racism against people that he's friends with. Whereas he has no problem calling the Pakistani grouping gangs in the UK a bunch of sadists who need to be put in jail, along with the government that... covered up.
Yeah,
right. That's not liberal. Like it's more libertarian than anything. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, that's kind of his. That's where he's been going to, ever since all this stuff came out, and then Ron Paul was like, you know, I'd be more than happy to give you a few ideas of things you could shut down, and then Musk retweets at him, and he's like, yeah, let's have a talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically. Yeah.
Trump this week repeated his shtick from the campaign, where America was the best. It was booming. It was awesome in the late 19th century before we introduced the income tax.
Mm.
And that's the kind of like revolutionary talk that would be an absolute bomb to the status quo.
Yeah. So I don't know. What I'm wondering about is how far Trump is going to be able to go or be allowed to go with this, and whether or not there's some maybe agenda behind the scenes to allow him to do certain things, to do a lot of it, you know. I don't think they're going to get rid of income tax. But so we'll have to wait and see how much he's even able to do. It's not so much about being allowed to do it, but whether or not he's able to do it, you know. Practically speaking, without fucking the whole thing up. How many tariffs is he going to be able to actually impose on everybody else around the world who doesn't agree with him before he collapses the global economy?
Yeah. China this week sort of helping him along with more sanctions against US defense contractors.
Mm.
They began that last year. I looked into it.
Yeah.
It's not the first time, but the recent package of Chinese sanctions are much bigger. Okay, you want to go full 100% tariff?
We go too.
And we escalate.
We go all in. Yeah. It's going to be a rocky ride. Do you have anything else?
Mystery fog.
Ah, fuck off.
I just love the headlines. This is...
Twitter's a bit of a cesspool, you know?
Oh, it's not Twitter. This is the mainstream. The headlines in the Daily Mail. Mysterious fog sweeping U.S. sparks bioweapon fears amid alarming echoes of secret 1950 military program.
I'll see your Twitter and raise you a Daily Mail.
Yeah. No one beats the Daily Mail for...
it's like the weekly world news
of
the 21st century.
Mystery as thick fog sweeps the U.S. with reports of burning chemical smell in the air.
Yeah, it could well be, yeah.
It's just it is widespread, though. It's the US, Canada.
I don't dismiss that because I don't think anybody's making that up. You know what I mean? Well, the UK is like fogland, basically, in the wintertime. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I really have a hard time, unless there's something distinct about it. I mean, the UK is just blanket in fog most of the time.
But the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, I don't know enough about the Gulf of Mexico. It's pretty humid down there and stuff. And maybe, I mean, the first place I would look to in explaining that would be changing weather patterns, the temperature in the kind of troposphere, or the stratosphere, the troposphere. There's stuff on the web about that, about it getting cooler up there and all that kind of stuff. Also, loading of the atmosphere with, I mean, we've had a lot of floods. This whole, like, 2024 was defined by flooding, like massive downpours in various different parts of the world. Notably Valencia and North Carolina, but many others as well. So there's obviously a major loading of the atmosphere with much more precipitation or precipitable water than there has in the past. So what happens in the wintertime in that scenario? It doesn't go away. It doesn't just happen during, you know, summer and spring and summer and autumn. It's still there in wintertime. So how does it manifest in wintertime when you have this fairly radical change? And it, you know, it's been growing over the years for anybody who watches our Earth Changes Summary video that we put out every month. You can go back 5, 6, 7 years, and increasingly every month, the majority of the actual events around the world of note that have caused damages and all sorts of stuff have been floods and massive rainfall and flooding, causing landslides and all that kind of stuff. So it has been growing kind of year on year in terms of its the intensity and regularity of rainfall, as in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
Get your arc built. So what happens in wintertime? Does it cause more fog in certain areas that
people have never seen fog before?
Right, that where it hasn't been before, because there's much more. I mean, place like North Carolina, you know, hasn't seen a flood like they saw last, whenever it was.
Well, there was one 100 years ago.
Yeah, but in a long time.
Yeah.
Right. And if
no,
you put
in
that,
no one's lifetime.
Right,
no
and if you put that together today with all the other stuff going on around the world, you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that people have been experiencing in the past few years in terms of rainfall that they haven't seen in their lifetimes and are very unusual for that part of the world.
So they see fog, take to Twitter, say they suddenly develop a cough and go, buy a weapon.
Well, there's one possibility is that that is associated with the increased water and the moisture in the atmosphere that we know is there. So maybe this is how it manifests and can manifest in certain places in wintertime. But also people have been reporting like a chemical smell in some places, a chemical smell from the fog, and in some places the smell of sulfur, describing it as a sulfur smell. Now,
the devil.
That's either the devil or demons. If you want to go there, get your Bible out, call the priest for an exorcism, or you could have a look at the amount of volcanoes, and possible, these aren't very well reported on, but outgassings from the seafloor that have been happening over the past number of years. And obviously volcanoes and outgassing from the seafloor can also be volcano-like. Effectively, it's like they're basically like magma chambers that explode. Yeah. And
it doesn't always have to be, but it can be.
Right, but they also release methane,
yeah,
which also can end up in increased precipitation, but volcanoes, one of the major chemicals that are released by volcanoes is sulfur dioxide.
It's the downfall of a lot of people when they're not trying to pay attention to everything. Because if all that you're focused on is, you know, what is the globalist, what are they up to, what are they doing, what are the machinations, oh, the chemtrails, and that's all that you know. And so you see people reporting a strange fog with a strange smell. Well, obviously, your first thought is, well, what is the government doing?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it has nothing to do with that, but you don't know that because you don't realize that
all of these other factors that are
there's
play.
So much other things going on.
And not only that, but factors and forces that are way bigger than the government that have the implications of them getting pissed off, or them actually, these kind of forces of nature coming into play have way more serious implications for human existence, human populations, than anything the government could possibly do. Because you're talking about, you know,
that's a scary thing.
Many different things, but you're talking about earthquakes, volcanoes, tidal waves, flooding, destruction of food supply.
You can always vote out a president, but you can't vote out a tidal wave.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And it's not just dramatic things like that. It can stuff that's creeping up, you know what I mean? That's building up and building up, you know? And then it reached a tipping point, you know, when you're even talking up to and including a kind of new mini ice age that will put pay to your food supply. And then the last thing in your mind will be drones over New Jersey or what the government is doing with those chemtrails today, because there'll be no food on the table. You'll be down at the supermarket fighting with your fellow Americans, punching them in the face to get the last bag of rice. There'll be no time to talk about
the government.
What about them lights up in the sky? And the government will be only too happy, and that's part of the problem. People don't realise that, like you're saying. People aren't aware of that factor. The government's very happy for them not to be aware of that factor.
Yeah.
And are very happy when people ascribe the effects of natural events building up for big changes to the government.
Maybe that's how they deal with the conspiracy people, is they keep them on... They keep them distracted with all the red herrings, like you were talking about with the email and stuff. You get them distracted with that stuff.
Get them focused on what's the government up to.
What the government is up to, so they don't see the earth changes that are coming, so eventually they just die out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's
or
how
everybody
deal with
them. Does. Yeah. Or they don't see it and it catches them unawares, and they never are able to, they can't prepare for a start, right? They're not aware of that, of the idea of cyclical kind of natural.
Yeah.
Catastrophes and stuff, so they can't prepare, and they're always looking to the government as either the cause of all the problems or the solution to all the problems. Yeah. So yeah, it's important to keep an eye on stuff in general. Anyway, we'll call it quits there.
Yeah,
we got somewhere to go. What do you call a snowman with a six pack?
A snowman on New Year's Eve.
And an abdominal snowman. All right. That was awesome.
Badum-tish.
We need a badum-tish soundtrack there. Yeah. Okay. So we'll leave it there for this week, folks. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I blame Adam's tinfoil hat for causing the interference at the beginning there.
That's my fault.
Yeah. We'll be back. Thanks for commenting. Don't forget to like, subscribe. Thanks for commenting too. And we'll be back next week with another show. So until then, have a good week. See you later.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.
Can't stop the signal now.